Welcome to this week's episode of the Six Figure Success Club. We are joined today by Emma Johnson, who is the founder of Emma Johnson & Co. And she's a multi-six-figure business success strategist. And she's also known as the Queen of Automation. Let's get into it. Emma, could you tell us who you are and what you do?
Hi, lovely to see you. Hi, my name is Emma Johnson. I'm founder of Emma Johnson & Co. And I'm a business and mindset success strategist, helping coaches, therapists, online service-based business women to create the success that they want in their business without overwhelm, the uncomplicated way. It is my mission to simplify success, to drown out all of that crazy noise that we see on social media, and to let you realize your entrepreneurial dreams without unnecessary stress, overwhelm, or fluff.
I love that. We hate fluff.
Yeah.
And when you're working with clients, is there specific things that you look at in their business that they're kind of already doing before you kind of understand how they can streamline their business and simplify what they're already doing?
Absolutely. So I think that most people, they get themselves into a kind of a state of overwhelm, and they've got these really great ideas about what they want to achieve in their business. They see others achieving greatness, and then the reality of business kicks in. So I work with women at all stages of business. So whether you're starting, whether you're, you know, hitting those 10K months, or whether you're scaling to seven figures, it really doesn't matter. The same process kind of applies regardless. So what I like to do is I like to help people really get back into understanding why they started their business in the first place. And because nobody wants to start a business to be chained to their desk for 60 hours, like that's nobody's idea of a dream. And if they say that, then they're lying. So six, seven years that I've now been working with clients, the reason that most people start their businesses is for freedom, for flexibility, for a passion to help and serve others in a way that they can do on their terms. And what can often happen is that we get overwhelmed by the business side of business, and we can lose sight of what it is that we're actually doing to help our clients. So it's really about looking at what is it that you want to achieve, and that's different for everybody. How do you want to achieve it? So do you want to be traveling all over the place? Do you want to be based at home? Do you want to be client facing? Do you want to be behind the scenes? What is it that drives you? And then let's map out the business that is in alignment with who you are and what you want to achieve.
I love this. So it becomes more focused around you as the business owner and what you want, and then how you serve your clients and the impact that you make kind of feeds off of the core, yeah, kind of what you want in the heart of your business.
Totally. I started my business because I'm a mum, and I worked in corporate for ages and ages, had a very, very successful corporate career, had multiple different careers. Even I started as a translator, I worked as a recruiter, I worked as an IT consultant, I worked as a teacher, lots of different careers. So I had quite a corporate background that I pulled into what I do now as a certified business strategist. And it was really then deciding, like, well, what impact did I want to leave? What was the impression that I wanted to leave for my children? And I didn't want to be away from my family. I used to travel the world, you know, this beautiful lifestyle, this business class, wherever I went, stayed in the most gorgeous hotels. But becoming a mum really changed me, and I really wanted to be more present, and I really wanted to demonstrate to my children what you can achieve when you put your mind to it. So that was my driver. It was like, well, how do I want to work? How do I want to show up? How do I want to be available? What do I want to show other people is possible? So that was, that was my motivator. That was my driver. So I find it really, really important. You know, everyone's different, but what is it that motivates you? What is it that gets you out of bed? And what's the impact that you want to have? And so there is no cookie cutter. There is no go and sign up on this course, or go and sign up with this coach and, you know, follow these exact steps. That's not the way that I work. It's all about finding about what my clients want to achieve, and then designing the business that you want. and we can do whatever we want. We can have whatever we want. We just have to decide what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really important. Like, you obviously started your business for one reason. I started mine from a completely different perspective. Mm. I was in corporate, loved corporate, just wanted to help other women be more successful. So I was running the business at the same time as working full-time in corporate. So although you and I have got very different kind of goals and desires for the businesses, that doesn't mean that we should be doing exactly the same thing in our businesses, because we've got such different outlooks on what we want the business doing.
Absolutely. And I also feel that just because we have different backgrounds, it doesn't mean that our businesses have to be overly complicated. And that for me is the big thing. It's like, how can we essentially create the leanest possible business that gives you the maximum outcome, whatever that is. So for me, it's, I don't want to be spending countless hours doing tasks that a system could do, or a VA could do, or I don't need to be doing at all. And that's what I find a lot of people get bogged down in. It's they see the shiny objects. They see you know, really successful people online running businesses that, well, if I copy what they're doing, then I'll be successful. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, no, it's really different. Like you said, you started your business whilst still working. I went full time with my business when I wasn't working. Like I'd you know, accrued a lot of savings. It was just, this was a big desire for me, is I was going all in. Like it was make or break. There was no other option. But just because you're working full time doesn't mean that you can't generate a full time income on a side business as well. If you can get your back office in order, if you can get your systems and your processes in order, it's amazing the income that you can actually generate on very few hours. It's just a case of, don't try to do it all yourself. Mm. Let's look at the systems, get the help, and you know, build a team up around that. And that team, when I say team, doesn't mean staff. That doesn't mean a big organization. I'm literally in the process of leaning out my business. I'm letting my team go because I've put other systems in place that don't actually, I know it sounds awful, so I'm letting my beautiful staff go, but it's about building a system, building a business that can run when I'm not present.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have to be with other people. So yeah, I get a bit passionate about that.
I love it. But I think it's really important. My whole corporate career was in technology. So if we can use technology that's come such a long way, if we can use that to make our lives easier, why wouldn't we? Whether it's in your personal life or in your business or anything that you're doing, there's so much technology and systems that is available to take some of the pressure off so that you can enjoy doing the bits of your business that you love. Like, for example, most of us are most passionate about the client work. So spending mm-hmm. more time doing that as opposed to running the admin side of the business.
Totally. And that's where I see a lot of people giving up on business dreams, because what they're finding is that they are having to relinquish that enjoyable client-facing work that they got into their business for, because they're getting bogged down with the admin side of things. And that's where I love to come in and kind of offer a bird's eye view for people and help people see, well, you know, we can make the tweak here and we can systemize this and we can automate that. And that's going to either give you more time for yourself or more time to focus on the bit that you love, which is the client-facing side of things.
I like that. So, it's up to us as the business owners, I think, to acknowledge that we probably do need to do a little review of what we're doing in our business and how we're spending our time, and of what we're spending our time doing. Absolutely. Does that need to be done by us, or can it be done by a system or another person?
Yeah. So my system is the add to delete system, which is the automate, delegate and ditch. So it sounds a bit odd. We're going to add something to take something away. But what it looks at is looking at, what is it that you're doing in your business? So we start off generally with just an audit. Like, what are you doing? What takes up the 3, 6, 9, 12 hours a day that you're devoting to your business, whatever it is, you know, even if it's 30 minutes, what are you doing each day? What tasks are you doing? Let's look at those. And what I see so many people doing, and this is where they get in a little bit stuck, certainly in early stages of business, is they go, right, well, I need to hire a team. I need to hire somebody. And then suddenly, instead of just becoming a business owner serving their clients, you've suddenly become a manager, an HR manager, and you're having to delegate tasks and people manage. And it hasn't actually given you the freedom that you thought it would. So we start with automate, because we look at what it is that you do in your business and what doesn't need to be done by a human at all. And as business owners, we're very, very passionate about what it is that we do. And we hold on to so many tasks that we don't need to. But let's look at what can a system take off your hands? Because, you know, if you've got $30 a month in a subscription to something, it's going to be far more cost effective than $25, $30, $40, $50 an hour for, sorry, I'm saying dollars, I'm based in Australia, dollars an hour to every, you know, on a retainer basis for somebody. So looking at automating and then delegating. So looking at the tasks that you're having to do that, you know, need to be done, but you perhaps aren't either your genius zone or that you don't enjoy. Because, you know, for you to show up day in, day out and be the best at what it is that you do, you've got to love what you're doing. Now, that doesn't mean that if you don't enjoy tech, don't do the tech, outsource it. If you don't enjoy building the website, don't build the website. If you don't enjoy the social media side of things, don't do the social media side of things. But, you know, those kind of things, they require a human touch. So it's really important that, you know, we don't kind of just hand everything over to AI or just a system. Things that need a human touch can be delegated. And then let's ditch the things that you really don't need to be doing. Like, do you need to spend 6 hours scrolling social media? Probably yes, not. Do you need to be chasing up your invoices, or can you have that system set up for you? Do you need to chase, you know, failed payments, or can you have an automated system that does that for you?
Yeah.
There's things that we can do, because that's the bit that bogs us down. When we're doing the stuff that is taking us away from our why, whatever that reason is, that's where I see people, they'll come and go, oh, should I quit? Should I go back and do my job? And it's like, well, start with your why. And when you can hold on to that, like that real vision that you've got, the reason that you started your business in the first place, whatever that is, financial, personal, evangelical, whatever it is, whatever that reason is, hold on to that, come back to that. And then if there's something that's taking you away, that's the bit that we tweak. So we don't tweak what's working. We tweak what's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing. If it's already working, then stick with it. But I imagine all of us have got things in our business that aren't working as well as they could, or that are, they're doing fine, but they could be doing a lot better. And I think we get so bogged down in the day-to-day running of the business that we forget to review the processes, and we end up just doing things because that's the way we've always done them.
Yes, it's something I do with all of my clients, whether, you know, one-to-one, whether in my group programs or even in my self-paced courses, is I build in a review. So one of the things that my clients and like a lot of people love is every year I run an ultimate planning party. So in December, so if you're following me on my social media, you'll see the links for it, but we do an ultimate planning party every year, and that's when we map out the year ahead. That can be a bit daunting for people, but absolutely reviewing is something that I do in all my programs. At the end of each month, we have a group planning call. So regardless of what program you're on with me, like we jump on a Zoom call, I'm there, I map out my business, I review what's gone on in the previous month, and we look at what's coming up for the month ahead. It normally takes about 30 minutes, but it's something that I do religiously in my business, and I instill that with all of my clients as well, because it really doesn't matter. When we look at the whole landscape of business, you didn't just start your business to do it for 1 month or even for just 12 months. Like, if you get into business, you're a visionary. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're a visionary. You're thinking ahead. You're thinking big. You're not thinking short term. So don't let 1 month hold you back. So we can look back, we can reflect. I think I was listening to a podcast the other day, and somebody said, do you think Apple, you know, Steve Jobs, when they sit down at their table, do they look back and they think, oh no, this didn't work? Or are they looking ahead to the next the next product that they're bringing out. Yeah. And that's what it needs to be like as a solopreneur, as a, you know, small business owner, regardless of what level you're at. Look back, review, don't judge. Like, you might have had the worst month ever, but who cares? In the whole landscape of things, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Tomorrow's a new day. Let's get going with it. So look back at what worked really well, but don't be afraid to look back at what didn't work. And don't be afraid to identify if it was you that didn't work. That's okay. It's all okay. Like, the thing is, don't quit. Just keep moving forward.
And I think you're right. I think acknowledging that we aren't always 100%. We can't always be 100%. There are times when we're not going to be performing at our best, and that probably is going to affect our business. But I really like that concept of looking at your business as if you are the CEO of Apple and not an employee of your kind of your small business. You are a CEO, you run the business. So you need to take that time to step out of the business and look at it from a CEO's perspective and say, okay, what have we been doing that's working? What have we been doing that's not working? What haven't we tried yet? And then tweak your strategy and your plan accordingly so that you can stop doing so much of what's not working and do more of what is working.
Yeah, totally. At the end of the day, business is fun. It gets to be simple. You just have to decide that's the way that it's going to be. It gets to be simple. So you can choose. And like I said earlier on in the podcast, I'm a mum. I've got two small children. So the thing for me about designing my business is I need enough flexibility in my business that, you know, if there is an emergency that kicks off at school, I can drop everything. And that's the business that I've designed. So when I sit down and I work with clients, I really look at sort of what is your capacity? What do you want to be doing? I had a beautiful client, just the most gorgeous, gorgeous, lovely lady based in Canada. And we sat down and we mapped out her plan. And she said, I've sat down and I've done a spreadsheet. And I was like, oh, I love a spreadsheet. I was really excited for her. And she said, yeah, I've mapped it out. It's brilliant. And she'd literally allocated every minute of the day, every single day for the week. And then we were like, well, let's address the elephant in the room, which is if you slip by 1 minute at any point, your whole schedule is out. And she went, oh, I didn't think of that. And that's the benefit of having somebody. It's like, you know, with love and kindness and a gorgeous hug, we can look over. So it was like, we looked at her schedule because she needed that order for herself. And she had similar tasks. This is a really easy thing that we can all do to streamline our business. She had similar tasks, but they were dotted. Nobody can see me doing these hand gestures, can they? I'm gesticulating. But she had these similar tasks all dotted throughout the day. But what it meant was she was stopping and starting and stopping and starting. So there were things that we could do to keep that alignment for her, which was that sort of that rigid structure, but allow that little bit of flexibility to add that human element. You know, what happens if you get sick? What happens if, you know, storm comes through and you lose your internet and you can't do your calls? It's about creating a business. For me, I like to label it a life first business. So I map everything out with my life, which is my family, front and center. My clients understand that, and it's a philosophy that I build in with them. It's like it's okay to not do 60 hours weeks. That's absolutely fine.
Definitely. Most of us don't want to do 60 hour weeks. That's not why.
No, and I think there's this mentality almost, it's like when I'm starting out, I must put in all hours. And it's not the case. If you're really, really clear about what it is that you want to achieve, then with that clarity, you can map out the strategy as to how you're going to do that and whether that's going to work for you. And if that means, you know, giving up weekends for maybe a few months, that's fine as long as you've considered it. But don't let your business run you. You run your business.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like what your client was saying about planning out your time. I think is very important. Planning out your time down to the minute, not the best idea. But like you said, putting tasks together that are similar so that you're doing all of the same things at the same time. So some of the things that I really picked up in corporate that I really liked are things like having a day of meetings. So you have all of your calls and meetings on one day, and then you do your kind of focus or project work on other days. And obviously that doesn't always work out completely because of other people's calendars. But if you have that philosophy in mind, I think you end up using your time so much more effectively because you're in the zone, as you'd say. You start the day, you know you're doing all of your client calls today, you get them done, and then you spend the next 3 days kind of following up on the work that came out of those calls, for example. But it's a much more efficient way of using your time and making sure that you're getting the most out of however much time you want to be putting into the business.
Absolutely. So something that I adopted probably about 4 years ago was 3 client-facing days maximum a week. So typically they are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are my client-facing days because I'm in Australia. My clients, like yourself, you're in the UK. I've got clients in the US. So my time zone is out for people, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and I have Mondays and Fridays as CEO days, and it gives me that flex. So if something comes up, I can very easily, if I need to, shift things from a Wednesday to a Friday, or I can do stuff for myself. So I can go to the spa, I can go and get my hair done, I can do these things without it impacting. Can also take time away. I can have long weekends with my family. But that time blocking, it doesn't work for everyone, but it, as you described, it's a really efficient way. If you can get your head around, it's a really, really efficient way of using your time. So I apply that to tasks as well. So things like I bulk create my social media content. I will have, you know, a morning of recording content or a morning of writing content. I will have afternoons dedicated to podcast recordings or creating, and I block that. So rather than saying I'm going to spend 30 minutes doing this and 20 minutes doing that, it's almost like, well, there's the 3 hours, and in that 3 hour window, I'm going to work through those elements of my business that I want to get done.
Yeah, which is fab. I think that's for those people that can't quite get their head around time blocking. I think that's a much better way of doing it because it's less rigid, but you still get the same sort of outcome.
Yeah, and it allows that focus. You're not coming into your office going, right, well, what am I doing today? It's a case of, right, well, these are the things that need. So I have a shit list, and basically every time I have those shiny object ideas, those things I want to achieve, they go onto that list. And then there is dedicated time in the week, in the month, in the quarter to plow through those. Yes. So I never have a case of, oh, well, when is that going to get done? It's like, not now. Yeah. That shiny object thing doesn't get done now. It goes onto the list because there are things that, like, every Monday I check in with my one-to-one clients and my group clients. There's those things that need to get, you know, podcast episode to record or a blog to write. Those things get done week in, week out. That is the job of my business. And then the other shiny object things, they get dealt with as and when in those blocks of time.
Yeah, which is the right way to do it. I always say to my clients that you can do everything you want to in your business. You just can't do it all at the same time. So creating a list of things that you want to do, and then every month you do one of them so that you know they're going to happen, which means that you get to tick the box of your shiny object syndrome, and you know those things are going to happen. It's just not all going to happen right now because you physically can't do it all right now, and if you attempted to, you wouldn't do it very well because your time would be split between too many of them. So yeah, that's a great idea. I think having a list of things that you want to do and then gradually working your way through it, but making sure that you've got time planned out to do some of those things.
Yeah, totally. I love that. You can do everything, but not all at once. And it is so true. It's like that's literally the definition of overwhelm, is that you're trying to do too much of the picture at any one time. It's like when it came to painting the roof of the Sistine Chapel, I bet he didn't lie on his back and go, ah, look how much I have to paint. It's like you just start with one brush stroke at a time.
Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. You can do everything that you want. Let's just be realistic. The same with, like, I talk to people and they come to me and they're like, I want to grow a 6-figure business. And I'm like, brilliant. Absolutely. You can. And they're like, and I'd like it by next week. And I'm like, right. Well, you know, you can, you absolutely can. And I was very fortunate. We grew to six figures with my business in 9 months from a standing start, brand new audience. And we have multi six figures by 12. And I know that, you know, this is your audience as well. This is what we do, is we create wealth for people in really awesome timeframes. But the key is being realistic about what that is. If you have a full-time job and you only have 1 hour a day to dedicate to your business, then it's more than likely going to take you a little bit longer than somebody who has multiple hours of time to dedicate to what it is that they do. If you don't have a big audience just yet, then you're going to have to revise what it is that you do and just prioritize the audience building before the sales can come. If you don't have a big network, then it's going to be building your network that has to come before the financial reward. So yeah, like you said, you can have everything, you can do everything, but just not all at once. So be realistic about like what it is that you want to achieve. And we're not saying that Lixie or I are telling you the time frames that you're working, because that's not the case. It's like, what works for you? What do you have in place? What are you prepared to do? And then let's go ahead and do it. Let's make it happen.
Yeah. I was talking to a client about this the other day, actually, and they were struggling with the sales coming into their business. It's not where they want it to be. And they're suffering with comparisonitis and looking at what other people are doing. And we were having a conversation about comparing yourself to the right things at the right time. So for this client, obviously the sales aren't coming in, which means that she probably shouldn't be measuring the sales that are coming in, because they're not coming in. So what could she be measuring to show that she was putting in the right amount of effort and that she was doing all the right things? And it was things like audience growth and the opens on her email list and the comments that she was getting on her posts and that sort of thing, as opposed to the sales, because they're not quite there yet. But looking at what you are doing and comparing yourself to what you were doing last week, and are you still doing the right things, and are you putting in the effort that you want to be putting in, as opposed to comparing yourself to something that at this point in your business isn't realistic.
Absolutely. And that's just it. You see, when we compare ourselves to other people, we have no clue what's going on in their journey. You have no clue what their background is. Even if you think you followed them on social media for like to the nth degree, you still have no idea what's going on. You don't know. They've probably got a massive team. And when you say the sales are coming in, you don't know what their profit and loss looks like. Like for me, it would be making six figures in profit is very different to making six figures in revenue. Like for me, I'm looking at six figures in profit. That's like, that's the measure that we go for. Pretty much anyone can do six figures in revenue. But if you've got six, seven figures in outgoings, does not a successful business make, you know? So it's looking at all of those elements. And like you said there, like, what can you do to ensure that you're moving forward? And that's very personal for everyone. So before we compare, are you putting in the effort to get the results that you're expecting? So it's like, well, I haven't made any money yet. And more often than not, when I come and I'll audit a business, like even before we jump on a call with people, I'll audit people's businesses. I'll go and look through their social media posts and they're like, oh, I haven't made any sales. And I'll scroll through and I can't see an offer anywhere, not in their stories, not in their reels. They don't have a blog. They don't have a podcast. There's no marketing. And that's a bit that they're like, yeah, but you know, I've been having conversations. And I'm like, well, okay, well, how many conversations? And they'll be like, well, I sent 5 text messages last month. And it's like, okay, that's fine. Like you're doing you, but let's get those expectations in check there. Really, if you're wanting these kind of results, then this is the effort that you need to be putting in, or this is the area that you need to be focusing on. And like you and I, both coaches, and that's really the essence of what we bring to clients, is a little bit of a reality check with love. Mm-hmm. So I'm never there to judge anybody, but let's look at what is it that you're doing. Are you putting your time into the right areas, or Could we tweak that? Could you be getting more return for less effort in certain areas if you were to do this and do this and do this instead?
Yeah, absolutely. And just making sure that you're putting the right effort into the right places, and you're not expecting more than you should from the amount of effort that you're putting in, I think is really important. Because like you say, it's possible to go from naught to six figures in a couple of weeks if you're putting in the comparable amount of effort to do that. But that's obviously going to be a lot of work. And is that how you want to be running your business, is putting in enough effort that you get to six figures in 2 weeks?
Yeah, and for some people, absolutely. And also there'll be other people who have run businesses or had business in the past, and they leverage their existing audiences, or they have a huge network and they leverage the network, or what they're selling is, you know, if you're a property developer and you're suddenly selling a property and you made a million on the property, then awesome. Yes, your business has just turned over seven figures in its first year. Amazing. But really, the essence that I get in, the way, the passion that I have for working, is I want to create long-term success for my clients. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be flash in the pan. I want them to be creating a legacy and creating a business that will support them for years and years, and, you know, even leaving it to their children. You know, that kind of legacy is what I'm after, and for people to be able to enjoy it along the way. So yeah, you can create whatever it is that you want, but let's not be busy being busy. If you're going to be doing something, I want it to give you a return, like financial return, a time return, an impact return, whatever it is. But if you're going to be devoting any of your precious time to your business, let's make it work for you.
Yeah, be strategic with what you're doing and make sure it's going to have the return that you want it to.
Yeah. And like, that's exactly how you're running it, because you run your business around, or have run your business around, a corporate career. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be sitting like in the precious evenings that you've got, like twiddling your thumbs, or, you know, shuffling papers or repeating tasks. You know, you've got to sleep as well. So let's make your business work. And to do that, let's really, really get clear on what it is that you want and how you want to achieve it. And, you know, let's put those systems in place. And that can scare people. Like, you and I love tech, but when we say systems, I was talking to on another podcast, we're saying, like, we all have systems. Like, when we come in, like, most people will put their keys down in the same place, or they will stack the dishwasher in a certain way, or they will make their bed in a certain way, or we get up and we have a routine in the morning. We all have systems. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. You don't need to be scared of systems. It's about how it makes your life easier, and how can we make your business as streamlined as possible so that you get to love it for longer.
I like that. I am slightly obsessed with, like, habits and routines and system building outside of the business, obviously also in the business, but outside of the business. So how can I run my life so that it is the most efficient, so that it's the least stressful thing that I can, because I think being an adult can generally be quite stressful, and we have so many things that we have to think about. And if you can systemize or create routines for all of it, I don't see why you wouldn't, because it makes it so much less stressful. So just going a little bit off topic here, but like every day I have a set of
the reason personal... you and I love each other, really, isn't it? Because we love our systems that get organized.
Yeah, but like in my personal life, every day I have because I worked in corporate and I started at 9, every day for half an hour before I started, I have a list of what I call personal quests that I do every day, so that I know that my house is taken care of. And before I start a full day of corporate, I know that the dishwasher's been done, or my laundry's been done, and it's all taken care of at that certain time. So I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the day. And that's how I run my life. And that's also how I run the business. So I know that at 9 o'clock every morning, I'm doing this set of tasks, because otherwise they're the ones that are going to be distracting me all day. And I'm going to be thinking about checking my email or my messages or whatever it is. And I have routines and systems in place to get those tasks done first. And then I can get on with the other parts of my day that actually bring in the revenue.
It makes sense. So I have a neurodivergent household. So half of our house is neurodivergent and the other half of our house is neurotypical. And regardless of which camp you're in, like, we all thrive off our systems. So whatever they are, like, my husband thrives on, let's do everything last minute. But even his last minute is because he knows what those deadlines are. Mm-hmm. Like, so there is a list somewhere. He knows what needs to be done. And like my son, we work through like, what did he need to take to school every day? So we have everything super, super organized. We have the lunches. We make the lunches the night before so that we're not stressing in the morning. The uniforms get laid out. And I think if you live your life the way that you want to run your business, there's a lot of correlation in that. That is between, let's say, if you're chaotic in life, then your business is likely to be chaotic. That may work for you. It personally doesn't work for me. I don't want any confusion about it. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want any confusion about who I'm seeing the next day. So I have certain systems that you can't book calls with me less than 24 hours in advance, because I like my house is in order. You said that your house is in order. When I finish off each day, I know exactly what I've got coming up the next day.
And yeah, then sure. I really my day.
I can switch it off. Yeah, and the same. Like, we go to bed. I go to bed. House is clean and tidy. I'm a little bit OCD, probably, but it works for me, and I think that's what helps me to create the systems and the success for myself and for clients, is because I have that very organized, structured brain. It's, I talk about like looking over a maze and being able to see the way out, whereas most people would just see the green in front of them. For me, it's like, let's clear the path.
Yeah.
And then absolutely you can achieve the dreams then.
Definitely. I think this is why planning is so important. And obviously you were saying about planning your year. And I, mm-hmm. in this respect, I'm probably a bit OCD, and I go down to the quarter and then the month and then the week and then the day. And every day I'm looking at what I'm doing tomorrow, and every week I'm setting goals so that I know what I need to have achieved by the end of the week. And it probably sounds a bit stressful for people that aren't that way inclined, but I think it helps keep you on track. It means you're not wasting your time, because you know what you're doing and when you're doing it and what you're going to achieve, and it makes goal achieving so much less stressful, because you don't get to like the 20th of December and realize that you haven't hit any of your goals and you've got 11 days to smash them all. You've kind of kept on top of them every day, week, month, quarter, and you know, you've broken it down so that you know what you need to achieve, and you're kind of doing it gradually as opposed to saving it all up for the end of the year. And that's how I run my life. It's how I run my business. And I personally find it so much less stressful doing it that way. Although it feels, I think for some people, like you're taking a lot of time out to do the planning, I think it's definitely worth it.
80% preparation, 20% execution. I think that's what somebody said to me once. It's like, it's not a waste. And I love that you said, you know, you look at it that way round, because for me, that is, we do the ultimate planning party in December, which is a chance for everybody to think about what it is that they want to achieve. So look at the big picture, a little bit like, you know, you going on holiday, you kind of work out what your destination is going to be. Then you figure out like how you're going to get there and what the accommodation is going to be like, and then what you need to pay. You reverse engineer. And it's the same in business. What goals do you want to achieve? Let's break those down into quarterly milestones. And from there, so that makes the year feel less daunting. So if we say like, I want to do six figures, awesome. Like, well, let's break that down. So what's that going to be? And that's going to be like roughly 250. Have I done that right yet? No, yeah, 25 a quarter. So 250, I've got like extra noughts in my head. So you break it down financially, but then let's break that down on a month by month basis. So I have, you can't see this, my office is a line of whiteboards. Because I've got day by day on one board, and I've got monthly goals on the other board. And at the end of every month, I love just wiping the board and then starting afresh with the month. So that's my goal. So monthly goals. And I break those goals down into different areas. So there's revenue, there's focus. There's four areas my brain's going for. So revenue and focus, projects, so things that I want to achieve, and then personal goals as well. So we're not just looking on a monetary basis, because there may be times when actually my goal for this month is to spend as much time with my children because they've been on school holidays. So I haven't had a revenue focus for this month because it hasn't been about that. It's been about catching up, organizing, streamlining, and spending time with the children. But yeah, breaking that down And then on a weekly basis, like, well, what do I need to do this week to get me to those goals? And that's the detail. So quite often people will say, oh, I can't do it. Or, oh, I haven't done as much as I wanted to do. When actually, let's look at what you have achieved, because every single step forward is taking you closer to that goal. But if you're only looking at the big goal and you're ignoring the steps that you're taking, you can either quit before you reach it, or you sabotage what it is that you were doing because you aren't acknowledging those milestones along the way. You've got to take one step forward every single day. That's all you need to do, one step.
Just one step. If you only make one step forward every day, you are far further ahead than a lot of other people. And yeah, this is where I think celebrating the little wins comes in so importantly. So every day I've got three tasks that I need to complete. And if I complete one or two or three of those tasks, I give myself a little mini pat on the back because I've achieved what I set out to achieve. And although it might feel small, it builds up over time. And if you do the three kind of high leverage tasks every day, if you're working a general corporate career, and those working days, that ends up being 705 high leverage tasks that you've completed over the year, and which is phenomenal. And all you had to do was three every day to get to the 700 that you've done over the year. And it makes it much more manageable, but also it means that you're going to do it consistently because you've only got to worry about those three that you're doing every day. But at the end of the year, you're going to have done so many more than you thought you would have just because you've kept going at it.
Totally. If you said to me, like, Emma, like, I've got these 750 tasks and you need to do them, it'd be like, whoa. But if you said, can you do three? Can you do another three? Can you do another three? Yeah. There's that book, isn't there? It's like, how do you eat an elephant? And it's like, well, one bite at a time. It's like, the same with everything.
Yeah. And this is why I love goal setting. I'm probably quite obsessed with it. I think if you set a goal effectively, it becomes kind of your roadmap to getting to the goal. So you hit the goal for the year, and then you break it down into, like you said, what you need to do quarterly, weekly, and then daily. And it becomes much easier to manage. It's not as overwhelming. It's not as scary. You're just doing your little actions every day that, over the course of the year, will get you to that goal.
And I've taken it probably a little step further than that, because I automate those then. I don't even want to remember what my three things are. I've got like my little project management system, and I tick them off when I've done them. And if they're repetitive tasks, then they get allocated. So if it's a weekly task, if it's something I do every Monday, I'll tick it off, and then it automatically moves, and it'll pop up in my to-do list for next Monday, and I don't have to think about it. So, I mean, it's just those little things. If I don't need to tax my brain with it, then I won't.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? I think on average, we make something like, I think it's 90,000 decisions a day. It's a ridiculous amount. And if you can, which is why we end up getting like analysis paralysis, because we've made so many decisions that we don't physically have the brain capacity to make any more. And it's why people like Steve Jobs wear the same clothes every day, because it's a decision they don't have to make anymore. Mm-hmm. And anything that we can do to lessen the amount of decisions that we're making every day means that the focus that we need on the big decisions, we kind of free ourselves up to do that instead of wasting our brain power on all of those little things that we could be automating or making more efficient or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that you just touched on probably that encompass this entire podcast, but everything comes down to a decision. And really, we just have to decide. Like, we even like deciding not to make a decision is a decision in itself. So if we're like, well, I'm not sure, well, you've just made a decision there that you're not going to commit to something, which is fine. But the more decisions that we can make, and that it doesn't matter if we make a mistake, that's fine, because then we make a decision about what we're going to do about it. But we're just moving forward each time. Let's make a decision. Is this going to be hard? Is this going to be easy? Is it going to be repetitive? Is it going to be automated? Am I going to like devote 60 hours? Am I going to devote 6 hours? Just make those decisions. And it sounds really flippant, but it comes down to that. Make a decision, move forward. And don't worry about making mistakes along the way, because we all make mistakes. Even those gurus that you're idolizing, they've made heaps of mistakes. We all do.
Definitely. I think that is the perfect time to end the podcast on our little light bulb moment about decision making there. Thank you so much for joining us. I have enjoyed this immensely.
Thank you.
And thank you everyone for listening. My three key takeaways from today's episode would be to think about why you started your business and remember what you wanted from the business and why you started it. And then from there, look at how you're managing the business and if it's working for you and for the life that you wanted to have. And if it's not working, let's start thinking about why and what you can do differently. My second one would be to look at your systems and your habits and your routines and understand what you're spending your time doing and how you can make that more efficient, because we've all only got so many hours in the day, and there's only so much we can do. So the more we can be efficient with that and make the most of the time that we've got, the better off you'll be and the less stressful you'll feel running your business. And then the third one would be to set your goals effectively. So if you haven't got goals yet in your business, why not? Let's get some goals set for the year and then break those down into what you need to achieve every quarter, every month, every week, so that you know how you're going to keep yourself on track. It becomes a lot less overwhelming because those goals become a lot smaller and you know what action you need to take. And it just is a much better way of getting to your business goals. But thank you so much for tuning in. I will see you next time.